When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the show. Hour number two. We are the Junkies, live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, and also 910 The Fan in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. All brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team. All right, joining us now is our good friend Ricky Snyder, 106.7 The Fan columnist. Happy holidays, Rick.
Hey, boys. Playing game. Walk-up music?
Yeah, we played it.
We just played it.
You played it. You weren't listening.
Yeah, we got your walk-up song.
I was talking to your guy.
We played it for you. No, we played it. All right. So give us an update here on what all this means. I guess it looks like they're going to pass this resolution. Golly knows, spend more money. But part of it is, it's like a 1,500-page thing. And part of what they've wedged in there is this RFK deal where it gives them control of the land, I guess D.C.
instead of the federal
government. People are acting like it's a big deal. Rick, can you explain? I always thought this was kind of a formality. You're still going to have to come up with the money, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is enough to tip the scales.
Well, first off, Maryland can rest easy now that we got a fighter wing going to protect our coast from the Russians. So, you know, the British come back at the War of 1812, we're going to kick their butt.
Well, was there some sort of trade-off? Like Maryland decided they would not hold opposition to this if they got – what did they get?
Yeah, they got some fighter planes out of Andrews. And
what are they going to do with that?
Hey, I'm telling you, if the British come back, we're ready for them this time. I don't know. It seems stupid to me too, but whatever. Yeah. And they got funding. We got more funding for the Key Bridge,
right?
So we don't have that even come out of our pockets. But anyway, this is a great for a next step, but it's not the last step. And if you now the city council has to approve the funding, and good luck with that, because if you can remember, 20 years ago, when the Nats came, it was a life and death struggle to get funding for this stadium to allow that team to come to D.C. And Mayor Barry, well, who was councilman then, put a headlock on people to finally it was a death match to get it approved. And the city council is still today, there's no votes on this council. You got to get a majority that approves the money. They just gave Uncle Teddy a half bill, so you're not flush with it. But this allows, what this does is this allows D.C. to finally do something with the eastern gateway to the city, just like it did with the Navy Yard. The last thing built down the eastern side of the city was RFK. You know, it's been abandoned for so long. Now you can do a waterfront property. You can bring in the big guns. The city doesn't want just a stadium. It wants all this housing and community stuff and all these things, which are great, you know, but that's all part of it. So the city council is not going to just throw open the vault and say, hey, you know, Harris, you want, what do you want? Like it did with Leonsis, I guess. But this is a great next step. And this, the lease will be for 99 years, so we're all dead. Who cares on that? And, you know, Congress has to still approve this big, you know, continuing resolution, which basically funds the government. Mm-hmm. And then everybody throws their pork projects in this thing at the end. So that's how that worked. That's how the Key Bridge funding went, things like that. Maryland finally dropped their opposition when they said, well, you're not just going to leave FedEx Field sitting there like it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was all negotiated with Jack Kent Cook's time about how things reverted afterwards. So this isn't really new, as much as chest thumping as there is on there. I say it's probably 80% to 20%. It's now at RFK now. I'd put it up.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, but it's by no means. It's no means a done deal.
All right, but explain this to me.
80% is pretty strong.
I understand now they have the, you know, control of the land or whatever, but they're still going to have to come up with the money, right? If Maryland offers $1 billion, they're not going to offer $1 billion or whatever.
Right. There's that, too.
That's a massive part of it. Isn't that the most important part?
Yeah, well, Maryland's $3 billion under budget now, so $3 billion. So the Maryland doesn't have unlimited money either. And
they're over budget or under budget?
Under budget. They're under. They're $3 billion in the hole right now in Maryland. Good luck with this.
Okay.
You know, so that's, they're not flush with cash to make these deals either. And, you know, constituents should be, and Marylanders should be looking at this hard. I think D.C. offers them enough to get this done. It's not just about money, although it's always about money, but the Maryland backside, Harris could sell that out and help fund a stadium too. So what do you want for the future? You know, you have to think about, we're not thinking about tailgating in the future because that's going to get cut back a lot.
What do you mean?
You know, they're not going to be the room for it.
Because there's not going to be room for it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's 170 acres at this project. They're basically, the city says you can have the stadium imprint, and you can have some of the parking lot, you know, probably the one, I'm not sure which one, but you'll get some. But it's not going to be the days of open skies of bring your trailer and sit out there. And that's, it's all part of it. The future of sports attendance, they're going to build a stadium about 60,000 seats because they know they're not going to need it. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you're going to be wearing your VR headset and feeling like you're sitting in the living room, feeling like you're on the field. This all stuff is coming.
That's
coming
sucks.
Soon. So you're not going. And let me put the other thing: when they build your new stadium, how much is it going to cost to go? You're not building a $2 billion stadium and getting in for $10. You know, it's
right.
It's going to be expensive, and I have not heard the words PSLs yet. But let's see what happens there. And it's going to be rich folks who can go to the games, and average people are going to be frozen out. And welcome to your nice new stadium at RFK. I mean, there's some real problems here.
Right.
So you think it's going to happen, though?
Well, that's a total change, because you were always like, it's just going to be at the old site. It's going to be at the old site, the current site. It's just going to, you know, whatever.
Well, they finally got control of the land. I wasn't sure they were going to get it. But they did. They managed to muscle up, you know, and get it. For all the politicians posturing about things, they finally broke them down. So it's, you know, it's RFK's to win. I'll say that.
Wow.
Now, if the politicians screw it up, if the city council gives him too hard a time with Harris, then he'll go ahead and stay in Maryland. He's got options. You know, we haven't said the word Virginia yet, and I don't think that's worth saying.
Right.
And they're not after that arena debacle. Forget that.
So you think it's 80% RFK site and then 20% staying in Maryland?
Yeah. That's my new odds.
All right, what about the idea? I kept hearing people when I was driving this morning talking about a dome, that it's going to be a dome. Yeah. And then Drabby tells me that, like, retractable roofs, they don't even use them anymore. It's, like, not even cost effective. Like, is it going to be a dome?
There's a lot of talk of it. You know, it's money talks, but I would think so, because with a dome, you can do 200 nights a year if you want. Mm-hmm. With an open air stadium, you've got 10 football, a rock concert, and a, you know, monster jam. You know, you can't afford that for $2 billion. You've got to have events. And you can pitch it to the city of, look at all the extra revenue, look at all the extra jobs that Dome represents. You know, so many people are ushers, vendors are working 200 days. They're not working 12. So you have to go that way. You really do. And you can bring in some cool stuff if you have the Dome.
I heard somebody suggest the World Cup. Do they ever play World Cups in a dome? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they have. I mean, I'm not an World Cup expert, but yeah. I mean, because they had some of that stuff out in the Middle East, what, a few years ago, and yeah, it was 120 degrees.
When they were in, like, Qatar or whatever? Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the game this weekend with the Commanders-Eagles. How are you feeling about this? This is, you know, it's not a must-win right now for the Commanders, but since the Falcons have now replaced Cousins, who's been playing like ass, they're putting in Michael Penix, and if the Falcons beat the Giants and the Commanders lose to the Eagles, that means that Falcon-Commanders game in a week and a half, it's already been flexed to Sunday night. It's a huge matchup, but let's just start with the Eagles. How are you feeling about this game?
Kind of skipping over it, to be honest, because it's not the relevant game. The Atlanta game is the relevant game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Eagles series is always the weirdest series I've noticed of the year. It's always the strange plays, the weird wins. But I think the Eagles are rocking right now, and I could see them winning this one. You know, I don't want to say handily because it never happens that way. I mean, last time it was, what, 8 points difference?
Yeah.
But the Eagles had them the whole game.
Yeah.
And they scored a couple of touchdowns at the end out of junk. So I think the Eagles are rocking, and they win this one. And it really comes down to then beat Atlanta. You don't really want to go down to Dallas, but I think Dallas, they'll beat them because Dallas won't have anything to play for. And they'll finish with, what, 11 wins. I mean, who guessed this would be an 11-win team?
Yeah. 11-6 would be incredible. Right?
Well, we haven't had a season like that since the last Super Bowl in 91.
Yeah.
So they've been playing with house money this year ahead of things.
Let me ask you this. Dan Quinn, if he turns a 4-13 team into an 11-6 team, how does he not just run away with Coach of the Year? I mean, I know Coach of the Year usually goes to a coach, you know, on a team that's got a really, like, one of the best records. So, but I don't know how you don't give it to him. I mean, I'm sure Kevin O'Connell's going to get a bunch of votes. He might win it. But Dan Quinn's got to get a ton of votes.
Yeah, I did that on my video series today about I think he deserves it. Adam Peters absolutely is the exec of the year, or that's a cheating if they don't give him it. But, yeah, he's done a good job of keeping them focused. He took a roster that not only was lost its last eight games and was 4-win overall, he flipped the roster at 60% of last year's roster. That's unprecedented since 1945 for this team.
Yeah.
And now they're up to about 80% different from last year. So he took all these new people. I call it, he did the team of rivals. He took coaching staff that he was against, but these weren't all of his boys. Some of them, but he did what Abe Lincoln did. I want to take all my opponents and put them in my cabinet. That's what he did. And he did a great job of that. He's kept them focused and gritty. Can he do it a second year? That's going to be the real interesting part. You can do anything for one season. Can you do it again? Because people start to let down from that adrenaline rush kind of thing he's doing. But he's,
well, also,
he's
look at the schedule. Look at their opponents next year. Markedly different. Have you looked at that yet?
Not too much.
The
schedule's not out. But next year, I'll be in Europe in September, and you guys can talk all you want amongst yourselves.
But what do you think, Rick? What do you think the ceiling is for this team then? So you got them at 11. Who's he have? Do you have them beating Philly or no? You have them beating Atlanta and Dallas.
Yeah, he's got them losing to Philly.
Yeah.
All right, so they get to 11. What's their ceiling then? They basically haven't beaten a team with a winning record for the most part.
Well, you beat who's in front of you. But I would say come playoff time, it's most likely Philly, but it could be Detroit. I'd rather see Detroit. They could win a playoff game, and then if you have a quarterback like Jaden, you got a puncher's chance of beating anybody. I mean, the 87 Super Bowl team wasn't the greatest team coming into the playoffs, and they caught lightning. So you never know. But things like the Ertz injury kind of worries me because that's a different part of the field they really need to recapture. Mm-hmm. On things that, you know, they can get receiver by committee, but Ertz was a safety valve in the middle, and maybe he'll be back in time on that. But they've got to change their offense some. They've got to go back to the smash mouth NFC East style of days where you go up the gut and beat people that way, because they can't get on the edges. We saw that last week. New Orleans sealed the edge on them, and Jaden forced in the middle. Jaden's got to get rid of the ball a little more. He's got to be smarter about it, not take sacks. Got to learn to throw the ball away instead of running for 1 yard. So they're moving the offense inside the interior, and that's for the better because they're better from guard to guard than they are at the tackles. So if they can adjust that, I think they've got a puncher's chance. I mean, I don't see them in a Super Bowl, but I think they could go at least a round in the playoffs.
Hmm. Well, how do you evaluate? Obviously, you talk about Peters and the job he's done, and the coaches that they brought in. How do you evaluate Cliff and Joe Witt Jr.?
Joe Witt slowly has really quietly done a nice job with this team.
Yeah,
I mean, you lost John Allen, and your D line's improved.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got Lattimore. They didn't even throw at him last week. I guess they thought he was Darryl Green. That was weird. Not even one pass. So it's quietly, the defense is not great, but it's good. And the off, you know, Cliff, I think sometimes Cliff got in his own head, makes some strange calls on that. But overall, has done a decent job. But I think Cliff's toughest test is the next month, mm-hmm. reworking this. Because, you know, January football is different. So can he do it? Can he, you know, give up some things he loves to beat him in other ways? That's the question. And for Quinn, don't kick 54-yard field goals. Pin the rookie quarterback down the other end. That was a terrible decision. Mm-hmm. It almost bit him for the game. He's made a couple like that. He sometimes goes for the win, you don't make it. So mm-hmm. Overall, they've done great. And Peters, the only mistake I'd say about Peters in a way is he gave Sam Hartman $2 million to sign, and then they cut him and they never used him, and he's on reserves. What was that about? But that's such a minor thing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's done well with the draft. He's accumulated more picks. He's found a lot of guys on one-year deals. Now, next year, can he get some of these guys back? Probably, but he hasn't really misstepped either. Next year will be a challenge. I mean, we think there's going to be a lot more prime time. I could see them playing Thanksgiving again. They'll probably have an overseas game. Won't surprise me. Gonna be a step up.
Here you go. Here are some of the opponents next year that we know of. I'm not sure that we know all of them yet, but Green Bay, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Vikings,
the Lions, the Bears, playing the NFC North,
the Broncos. I mean, you know, it's a definitely a more challenging schedule next.
I think they're playing the AFC West and the NFC North.
Yeah, so you're going to have to earn those 11 wins next year.
But they should be better. They'll have another draft under their belt, another free agency round.
Rick, here's the thing about, I mean, I've been saying all week that this game really doesn't, it's not a must win. But if they do lose to the Eagles, and we have no idea what to expect from Penix because it's his first start, right? We have no idea. But he's playing the Giants. But let's just say they're a different offense. Like the Falcons are more explosive with Penix than they were with Cousins. Man, that Commanders-Falcons game, that's an elimination game. And if Commanders lost that game, they're pretty much out because the Falcons finished with the Panthers at home in Week 18, probably going to win that game if they look good this week. So it's an elimination game, and that would be really disappointing for Commanders fans if they didn't make the playoffs when they kind of controlled it for, you know, 14, 15 weeks.
Yeah, so much I heard in recent weeks is, oh, they've already won a lot of games. I'm really happy at how much better it is. No. When you're 7-2, you hit the gas because you might get lucky this year. Because as you say, next year isn't a given. This isn't a given to continue to rise. So hit it while you can. And they seem to have pulled out of that. You know, they had a tough three-game stretch there for reasons. But you know, I think people would be disappointed. I'd be disappointed. Mm-hmm. I didn't come back here to watch nothing, but it's not going to be easy. It never is easy in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the Saints win. Was that easy? I mean, you know.
No, of course not.
You think so? It's just how this thing goes here. But they did win these close games this year instead of losing. So maybe some of Dan Snyder's karma's, you know, out of here.
Yeah.
You know, because they would have lost that game. How many times did they lost the Saints game?
Yes.
All day long.
Agreed. So, well, that's because they just had bad quarterbacks the entire time. But, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, we got to get out of here. Happy holidays to you, buddy. Good talking. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it, bud.
All right. It's a good friend, Rick Snyder. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Adam Kaplan will talk NFL with him. And of course, we're still going to talk to Coach Carbs at 9:25, Caps head coach. So stay with us. Remember,
this holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit bmwusa.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the holiday show is Friday at the MGM Sportsbook, and it's open to you, the listeners. We're trying to get you guys out there. It's Friday before Christmas. Take the day off, come out, hang out with us, gamble, have some cocktails with us. We're going to just, you know, it's going to be a good time. So holiday show is always fun. It's usually right here in this studio, but come out and hang out
with us.
We're
going to take it out. We're going to take it on the road.
We're going to be playing some games, having a good time.
And we'll have some good stories from the night before.
Yep.
Some of the guys are going to go out to RPM. That's new to me. I'm embarrassed that it's new to me.
I've heard of RPM. I've never been there.
What's the other place we used to go? Was there like a steak spot that's like prime rib or something? Or
there was a steakhouse we went to a couple times.
Is that not there anymore?
That's a great question. I assume it's still there.
That was always a place that we would go to before a game.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna go sit in the Hennessy Loft and watch the Wiz probably
on
lose
Thursday. Yep.
But that'll be fun. We'll have a lot to talk about, and then Friday will just be festive, kind of the last show before the holidays.
Yep.
Yeah, always a good time.
So come out and join us on Friday on air, 6 to 10, at the MGM Sportsbook. The scenario we were just kind of going over.
We were actually talking about it during the break.
Yeah, it's kind of frightening. It kind of puts more pressure on the Commanders to beat the Eagles, even though that's a tall task.
Yeah. Right?
The Eagles are legit. 10 straight wins, defense legit, all kinds of weapons. Barkley killed them the first time they played. It kind of puts more pressure on the Commanders to beat the Eagles, because right now the Falcons, who the Commanders play in a week and a half on Sunday night, it's been flexed to Sunday night, they're a mystery because we don't know what kind of offense they're going to have with Michael Penix. They could suck. He could look like a rookie and just look clueless.
Yeah, what if he goes out there and plays like Bryce Young did, is for sure.
Right. Or
that'd be great.
Or he provides a spark and they're a totally different team and they're a much better offense. We just have no idea.
But here's the scary part about it. If you assume, and you can't assume anything in this league, but if you assume that the Eagles, who are currently the number one power ranked team in football, at least according to ESPN, they beat us. Let's say it's a tight game, goes down the stretch, they kick a field goal, whatever.
They
play
lose,
great,
but
we lose.
Yeah.
That Falcons game is now kind of must win.
Yeah, it's an elimination game.
The season could end. Here we are thinking that we're kind of a lock for the playoffs for the most part the last 7 or 8 weeks.
You would have felt a lot better going into that game with playing against Kirk Cousins, I think, because Cousins was so bad over the last 6 weeks.
No, I actually think I'd rather go against the rookie.
Okay.
It's only in his second NFL start.
All right.
But it's a total unknown, and it's just a guess.
It is.
I think I'd rather go against a guy like him than a guy like Kirk, who's probably thrown for, 40,000 yards in his career and several hundred touchdowns?
Of course. He's been really bad, but they made the change.
Go against a kid that's done nothing.
But that scenario is kind of scary, even though you get him at home and you'll be playing against a rookie in Penix. But it's a must-win game, because if you lose that game, then now all of a sudden the Falcons are elevated into that seventh spot.
I don't know. Want to hear from you. 800-636-1067. If you're like me and you're prone to panic, you can quickly go from sort of just thinking about this game, we're free-rolling, which is why I've kind of thought about it all week.
Mm-hmm.
I expect to, we'll put up a fight and then who knows, doesn't really matter. But then if you do lose, everything's on the line against the Falcons. Essentially, it's a playoff game. Playoffs start, if you lose to Philly, the playoffs start next week.
Pretty much.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
I mean,
think about all of the, we were going over the playoff percentages that, all the books were putting out, and they were at 72%, 78%. I mean, they were very high up. And now I'm sure they're probably still in that 60 to 70 range. But if you lose to the Eagles and the Falcons win, well, that dips.
Because the Falcons have, the Giants this week?
Giants this week, and then the Panthers at home to finish
we
out.
We are rooting so hard for the Giants. We're rooting hard for the
course,
Giants.
Of course. And then, look, anything could happen. The Falcons could lose to the Panthers the last week of the season, and the Commanders beat the Cowboys. And that could get them in.
Yeah, but that requires them to lose.
That requires them, correct.
But it's kind of, you're kind of like on a razor's edge as a fan, and you don't quite realize it because you think, okay, we're pretty good here. Doesn't really matter what we do against Philly. We got Atlanta, and no. If we lose to Philly, the Atlanta game basically is the start of the playoffs.
It's a play-in game, yes.
It's
and I never thought
kind of a terrifying thought.
Kind of looking at the schedule and looking how all the scenarios, I was never really thinking about that because the Falcons had lost four straight. I think I said last week, the Falcons are dead. I could be wrong on that. I mean, they might not be dead now because of this quarterback change. I didn't think they would lose to the Raiders. I thought they would beat them, but they looked bad. But they got the win to get to 7-7. Now that Penix is in there, we just have no idea what kind of offense they're going to have. We just don't know. He could provide a spark, or he could be clueless, and they could be a worse offense than they've already been the last few weeks.
It'd be hard to be worse.
It sure would, but
it would be hard.
And I'm guessing they're going
to
be better because I'm guessing that he's not going to play as bad as Kirk Cousins, where he had one touchdown and 9 picks in the last 5 weeks. I don't think he's going to play that bad.
All right, let's go to Mo in D.C. Mo, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey. First of all, EB, I love you. You know why I love you? Because you're a real fan.
Thank
you. I get what you're saying.
You
get what I'm saying? I'm a real fan, too. So you watched our team, just like our team, different iterations of our team, but our team, against unknown quarterbacks. What did they do to us, EB?
I don't know. Remind me. We always lose.
They kill us.
Yeah.
They kill us. They set records on us. Unknown. It's crazy. So
we almost got Spencer Rattler last week.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'd much rather play Kirk than Penix.
Uh-huh.
It's just one of those things where I don't know what it is about our team and these decades, but a quarterback comes out of nowhere off the bench, throw me in the game, coach, and lights us up for 500 yards and somehow has a game-winning drive. Just like you said last week, Spencer Rattler. Why would Spencer Rattler even have them in the game?
Yeah.
It was the same players without Alvin Kamara, and Spencer Rattler almost beat us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Washington was not good in the second half. You're scared, Mo.
So is that putting more emphasis on the Eagles game than maybe previously you had thought about?
So no. So every game that goes on in the NFL is a big game. The reason why the Eagles game is so big is because we lost to the Cowboys.
Right.
That's why the Eagles game is so big. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Cowboys game is going to be big, because we lost to the Cowboys the first time. The
right.
Cowboys game was a pivotal game in the season. So if we can get an Eagles win, it'll make the game next week less important. So we gotta right. try to beat the Eagles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Look, if you somehow beat the Eagles and then Atlanta loses to the Giants, well, then you're in. You're in.
Yeah.
But if the opposite happens, that game Sunday night is going to be massive.
The whole season's on the line.
It's going to be freaking massive.
It's actually terrifying to think about. Let's go to Jermaine. Jermaine, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, I've been watching this Atlanta thing carefully. I was hoping they didn't make that move to Penix.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Penix was the best quarterback in college football. Mm. You think about it. His knock was his age. Mm-hmm. And he was injury.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, if you watch that Texas game last night, Penix, he throws a good deep ball. I mean, he's super accurate. You know, I was worried about that. So I don't, you know, I'm a little worried about that game against Atlanta now. I would much rather play Kirk, because Kirk, his confidence was down.
Yep.
He was making bad throws. I mean, you know, we had a good chance with Kirk. So I'm a little bit worried. I think Penix is going to be a really good NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he.
So
he
now
might
you're
be.
You're worried.
But what about
Jermaine?
The Philly game? So doesn't that put more emphasis on the Philly game?
Absolutely, but I don't think matchup wise we don't match up well against Philly. Philly's strength is he plays to our weakness. We can't stop the run, and that's their strength. And their offensive line is great. And then Carter, he kills us every time we play him.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, hopefully Biotis is back, because you know, we'll need that against Carter, because our interior, we struggled against Philly in the interior last night.
Yeah. Right. No, you're right.
No, for sure. The good news is, listen, there's not very much good news, but I felt like Barkley didn't kill us until the end, the last two runs. Now, they were backbreakers, and they ended the game.
It doesn't matter when it happens.
Yeah, but we did a decent job against them for three quarters,
okay,
I thought.
But you got to play four quarters.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
right.
Yeah. That's why he's so good.
We're a little weak in the interior defensive line, too. I mean, they seem to really gash us in the interior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just don't have the beef up front on a defense.
No, you're right. You're right.
Right.
Yeah, it puts a lot of emphasis on, well, maybe not a lot, but more emphasis on the Eagles game, but certainly next Sunday night against the Falcons.
And I'll tell you what, if we don't have Chin, because Chin could do a lot of things. He's a little bit of a thumper, too. Like, you know?
Okay, but
you should
have him for the Falcon game.
Should have him for the Falcon game.
So
but
if he doesn't play
I'm thinking about Philly.
Yeah,
now all of a sudden, now I'm thinking Philly. We got to try to find a way to sneak that one. We got to find a way to steal that one.
Well, I just think you just have to focus on beating the Falcons at home. It's Sunday night. It's going to be a hyped up game. That's the big one. Because no one really expects them to beat the Eagles. You don't expect them to beat the Eagles.
I don't, but I expect them to put up a fight. I expect it to be a good game. I don't expect to get smoked.
Okay, I don't expect that either.
So that could be our secret. The Eagles may underestimate us, and
right.
we may be able to sneak one in. They don't need that game, so maybe they're in cruise control mode.
Maybe. And
they do need the game, Jermaine, because they're trying to get that number one overall seed. Yeah, they want to get home field advantage,
right.
And right now they're battling Detroit and the Vikings.
All right, Jermaine, thank you, buddy. All right, let's do one more.
It's a big game for the Eagles.
Let's go to Eddie. Eddie, what's up, pal? 800-636-1067. Now I'm starting to panic as we got our last three games here.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good morning.
Hey,
real quick, I disagree with the caller you had a couple calls ago. He said that we always lose to these new quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
That might be true, but with Rattler, we didn't know we were playing Rattler. So I think we're getting Penix at the perfect time, only because we're going to have film on him. You're going to have him
one game.
You're going to have a full game of him with film. You're going to hopefully know what his tendencies are, what we can do as far as blitzes or not, or zone, whatever the case is. So, yeah, I was scared of playing Kirk Cousins, to be honest with you. I was scared of that game. Now I'm a little bit more comfortable, believe it or not. because I do feel that we're getting him out of. Now, if they started Penix first, this was going to be his first game against us. I might be a little scared because you don't have film on him. You don't know. He could just be lighting it up for that reason. But no, I do feel more comfortable with Penix it being his second
game. What about the Eagle game?
You know what? You guys were talking about it yesterday, and I called in, but it was a little too late. I agree with you guys. It's one of those games where I don't think it's a must win. I've always felt that. Now, the Cowboys, Falcons, must games, period.
Yes, yes.
Those are must games with the Saints. The three out of the last four, I think you had to win three out of four. I didn't agree with Kevin Sheehan when a while back he was saying 10's a lock. I don't know if 10's a lock, but I think these are the Falcons, Cowboys, must games. Eagles, not a must game. I think I hope you play them tough, but it's not a must game. And if you win, that's just a plus the way I see it.
Yeah.
You got to beat the Falcons. You got to beat the Cowboys. You have to. If you lose to any of those two, you probably don't even deserve to be in the playoffs anyway.
So might be true.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, buddy.
I got one quick question. If you guys could answer real quick, especially you, EB, because my daughter's being looked at as far as several D2s and D3s and volleyball. Unfortunately, she's a libero. Just a quick Costco, guys, if you could give me a doom or boom, I'll hang up and listen. She's being looked at a school up there in Ashland, Virginia. Is that a doom or boom type city? And I'll hang up and listen.
Ashland?
Ashland, right outside of Richmond?
I know nothing about Ashland.
What school is it? Is it Randolph-Macon?
You didn't say.
Is that where Randolph-Macon
is? I'd say if the school has what she's looking for, if it's the size that she's okay with. They got a good culture on the volleyball team. Go for it. I think there's nothing like it. But it can't just be a volleyball-only decision.
I think that's probably the school he's talking about, Randolph-Macon. Randolph-Macon's a good school. I don't know what kind of a volleyball program they got. No idea.
Yeah.
All right, stay with us. We've got Adam Kaplan to talk NFL, and, of course, we'll focus on the Commanders-Eagles game. That'll be in, about an hour, 8:45. Stay with us.
All right, there's a chill in the air as that cold Washington winter is creeping in. Make sure your residential or commercial heating system is ready to keep you warm and cozy all season long by calling the five-star heating experts at Crop Metcalf. A Crop Metcalf five-star technician has the training and know-how to properly fix and maintain your system and catch potential problems before you're left out in the cold. For peace of mind all season long, do what I always do. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician.
Hey, for frequent flyers out there, I thought this was an interesting story I saw yesterday about the airline industry. So Frontier's airline is offering what they call a Go Wild pass. All right.
Can you just explain? I've never flown Frontier Airline. How long has it been around? Just a few years? It's a cheap alternative? Is that kind of the idea?
So.
That's the bit?
Yeah. I don't know how comfortable the planes are. Yeah. I don't know how comfortable the seats are or the food.
I think a lot of people that just are willing to just like pick up and go and travel on a whim.
Yeah.
They're looking for cheap flights that, you know,
they
don't
try to
maybe,
offer maybe the cheapest they don't flights.
Yeah, maybe
they
for don't a flight have, where you don't have to fly very far. If you're just going from D.C. to, I don't know, Savannah or Florida, maybe that's fine. I don't know if you're going coast to coast, if they even offer those flights.
I thought Dina said to me that she thought that they get canceled a lot. Is that a thing?
I don't know about that, but like if you're flying and you're going to go check bags, I probably wouldn't fly Frontier.
Mm.
But. Yeah. Because they will charge you an arm and a leg.
But. Yeah. Well, maybe that's one reason that they're offering this, because they want some positive news about their
airline. What's the offer?
So they're offering this Go Wild. It's you buy this pass for $300, okay? And then after you, for 1 year, starting May 1st of next year through April, end of April of 26. All right, so basically for 1 year, you get flights for a penny.
What? How many?
Now,
unlimited?
It seems like it's unlimited, but there are restrictions. I mean, there are certain flights.
So basically, you get free flights. It's a free flight pass.
It's a free flight pass. Now,
but then you have to pay your
Drabby,
bag
explain
of
this to me. Oh, yeah, I got to pay all that. Explain this to me. Let's just say you have a family of four and you join this club, this Go Wild club, right? You got a family of four and you want to take them to Disney World. You want to take them to Orlando. Can you buy all four flights for a penny? So four cents for four flights, or is it just for the person who joins the club?
I'm sure each one.
Yeah.
So it's probably to cost you $1,200, and then it's a penny a flight.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But if it's just you.
If it's just you, you get it for a penny. You get any flight for a penny. But there are restrictions.
What are they? Like, he can't fly.
Well,
like
not every flight would be covered under that.
Right. You get the nubs flights.
It says not every flight operated by Frontier is available for booking through the Go Wild Pass. I don't know what percentage that would be. So there'll be some restrictions.
There's a bunch of blackout dates.
Yeah, there's blackout dates for holidays and stuff. Yeah. So it might not be as good as it sounds, but it's interesting that they're offering that up, because even if you did it a couple times,
it'd be worth it.
It'd be worth it, right?
Yeah. Well, they've obviously done the math and it's not worth it, right? They've obviously done the math that it's beneficial to them.
It sounds like it, but
right?
Maybe that's why
they've got all those restrictions. What's a typical bag charge these days? Like 50 bucks for an extra bag? Something like that? Yeah, I don't even know.
100, depending on the airline.
It can be 100.
All right, but
here's the deal. You have to join this club, this Go Wild Club, by midnight today.
Mm-hmm.
It ends today. After that, the passes will be $4.99. So they're giving you about,
40% off.
But
but you got to join by tonight at midnight.
Here's the biggest catch. This is not for people with like family. It's last minute flights. You book them the day beforehand. They're seats that would not go used.
Yeah.
You have to book it on their website 24 hours before the flight.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, that would be.
This is for people who are spontaneous.
Yeah.
That want a quick getaway. Maybe it's Thursday, and you know what? Maybe they want to go somewhere for a weekend. Like a quick weekend trip, they'll say, you know what, I want to go to...
Yeah, I don't have that spontaneity.
Santa Fe or some nub city like that for the weekend.
Yeah. Well, they offered this exact pass back in 2022, apparently. I don't know how it worked out, but obviously they figured it. Let's do it again. So maybe it did work out.
Like, for example, Dee just booked a bunch of flights for Kate's club volleyball. Where we're flying all over. But we couldn't do this because we had to book it months in advance for each city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, it sounds better than it is.
I'm out. I'm out on Frontier.
Yeah, I mean,
it just seems dicey to me.
I fly a couple times a year tops, so I would never do that.
If it was a Frontier hub at like Reagan or Dulles or even BWI,
mm-hmm.
I'd be intrigued if they flew to a bunch of golf locations,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
but you go there for the weekend, 24 hours in advance, though.
I know, I would have a couple cities on standby.
Go fly down to Charleston.
Right.
Yeah, if it did that, I would go. I would do that.
Because driving to Charleston is brutal.
Or if it flew into Savannah.
Yeah.
And I would go to Hilton Head for a week and go play Harbortown or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be worth it.
All right. Speaking of flying, it's somewhat related. Have you paid attention at all to this story about these NASA astronauts that are stuck in a space station or whatever?
I've heard the story.
It's a woman, Sunny Williams, and Butch Wilmore. They left in June. They were supposed to be there for 8 days.
Correct. They're not coming back until February, right?
And now they've delayed it even longer.
Ooh.
They've delayed it even longer. Do you know the anxiety that you would have? You want to talk about being trapped.
That's what you are.
First of all,
you're in prison.
How do you even know they have enough food for? There's a bunch of people in this space station. How do they even have enough food for something where you planned to be there for 8 days? Now you're going to be there for 9 months. They keep delaying it. I would be so claustrophobic. I would have so much anxiety.
Now they're delaying it to June, you said?
I think
they were supposed to come back, I believe, in February.
Well, they were originally supposed to come back 8 days later.
No, I understand, but now they've delayed it to past February.
Well, they say, let me see, they're expected not back until spring.
Right. I know, they're in prison. How many people are up there?
I don't know. Looks like I see them like hugging like 6 or 7 people. I don't know.
Yeah.
The next crew was supposed to launch in February, followed by Wilmore and Williams' return at the end of the month. However, SpaceX needs more time to prepare the brand new capsule for liftoff, and now it's scheduled no earlier than late March, so probably early April. I think I've seen photos of them, too, where they're starting to look kind of hurting, too, because you're up there, you know.
What, are they losing weight?
Yeah, I don't think they look so great.
Well, they probably aren't. Can you imagine being up there for 9 months?
And I don't know if it was the the anniversary of it or whatever, but somebody retweeted this morning when I was just kind of doing my little show prep, the video of the guy. Remember the guy that jumped from like the atmosphere? What was that guy's name? Remember he jumped from like the outer atmosphere of the earth? It was like he was like 110,000 feet in the air.
What year was that?
I don't know if it was the anniversary of it, but I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the free fall was like over 3 minutes.
Yeah, I do remember. We talked about it.
He was spinning around out of control. They were a little bit nervous in the control room because as he was, when he was first jumped out, mm-hmm. 110,000 whatever feet he was up in the air, like, and literally it looked like you could see Earth.
Yeah.
The whole Earth. He was like spinning around out of control. And he was complaining that it was like really hard for him. His things were fogging up. He was getting thrown around.
Of course.
And somehow he pulled it off.
So does the story say why that they keep delaying it? What is the delay for?
They say the capsule. I don't know. It's a new capsule and they want to make sure that it's, you know, perfect.
Yeah, they just F that whole thing up.
Seems like, you know, these things. First of all, conditions have to be perfect for liftoff, et cetera, and for coming back. And then they have to make sure that, you know, they're not going to have any faulty O-rings or anything. This stupid thing doesn't blow up.
They can send them supplies.
They can do that.
So they're sending them
food. So that's how they're surviving.
They can send unmanned rockets up there to it. But I think getting them back safely is the problem.
Man, it's terrifying. I would be terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have anxiety about it or no? You'd be fine with it.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be an astronaut in the first place because of that very reason.
Yeah. I mean, just utterly terrifying.
It's not for me, yeah.
Not for me. I don't know why anybody would want to do that.
They chose their profession. There are risks involved, man.
I mean, I guess.
But that's a terrible story to be up there 9 months when you're supposed to be up there 9 days.
And so they're going to come back here and get healthy, and then they're going to launch it back up there in another year or two. They're going to just keep doing this over and over and over.
Hope not.
Do you think they even like it, like the no gravity bit of floating around? Like, is that fun?
That would be fun for maybe 8 days, but every single day for a year? No, that would suck. All right, listen, we got some more guests tonight. This morning we've got Adam Kaplan. We've got Spencer Carberry.
Carbs.
925.
Have we lost two in a row now?
They just lost last night. They blew a 2-goal lead. We'll talk to him about that. He ain't going to be happy. And we're going to also talk to Mayor Bowser in the final segment about this RFK deal.
If she pulls this off and Rick Snyder's right, and they're like 80% favorite now.
It's a big deal.
She pulls off keeping the Caps in the Wiz, and she gets the Skins back.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Because they're doing the renovation of Cap 1.
Unbelievable tenure and legacy she'll have.
Yep, that would save it. 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies on the Fan. Stay with us.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.